for any items not on the agenda. No, no public comments? Okay, review of agenda. Any changes to the agenda? Steve?
Yeah, in the, under the possible fourth crew member, maybe after that, put it in for a part-time hire.
Is this a discussion, or are we going to try and put this to a vote tonight?
The part-time definitely should go for a vote. If everybody agrees with what I, my idea that I bring up.
Yeah, I'm just concerned that we don't have two board members here that weigh in on it. But if we're in some, if it's sort of an emergent situation we're trying to address, I think that'd be worth talking about.
Any other additions?
I think I'd like to strike a couple of things, just since we don't have Frank and John. I'd like to strike 5G, which is supervisor responsibility. Do we have a draft RFP? John, I know John was working on that. Did you have something to look at tonight?
I have not seen it.
So I think since John was drafting that.
That was sent to you guys all last meeting, correct?
Right, but John was working on it, so that was not the final thought. He said he was going to go back and finish working on it.
I don't know what else there is.
Yeah, there was a whole section that was missing, so if we don't have anything to review, we should strike that. So are we doing, talking about hiring both, hiring a fourth crew member and a part-time, both of those, or are we just going to do one?
It'll kind of depend on what we decide on the first one, because it could be whether the second one would be a discussion.
In the discussion in the minutes of the last meeting that we had, we left it, according to the minutes, in my recollection, that we had a new road foreman coming on, and we were going to discuss it, not necessarily hire anybody at the moment, but discuss it after he got his feet wet,
right,
and he had a better idea of what he wanted.
Right.
So I don't think, personally, that's one way to put it in the agenda, but I did not anticipate that we were going to hire anybody at this point, that it was going to be a discussion only.
Okay.
And that may have been just my jaded view of the whole thing. That's how I remember it in the minutes. That's how I remembered it anyway. But I do think that this conversation with Jimmy, now that he's been on staff a little while, ought to happen, at least in some kind of beginning conversation. So I wouldn't want to take it all off.
Okay. I think we should add somewhere in here just a quick update after our meeting with Purple Crown yesterday. That doesn't need to be an executive session.
That does not?
No.
So do you want that 5?
You can put it anywhere.
At the end of 5?
Sure. We're not going to discuss anything sensitive.
Okay. Anything else?
Actually, why don't we strike M, too, because I'd like John and Frank to participate in that as well.
There's one thing that I think with somewhere along we need to discuss briefly, the Cloudland Bridge, an update. And that's going to be very brief, and we can put that at the end of, before Jimmy leaves, somewhere. Maybe we can put that as G instead of the review of supervisory.
Okay.
And that's more for my benefit as a reminder than anything else. Anything else?
John is here, so that makes a difference in talking about the truck.
Well, let's give it a minute then.
the dump truck RFP. Did you work on that to finish that off?
I haven't done any more on it, no.
So we don't have a proposal to...
Just what I distributed just before last meeting.
And that wasn't a finished product, is that right?
No, I wanted everybody's opinions on it before.
Okay.
I,
will you send it to me again? I could not find it in my email.
Yep, I've got it.
Thank you. Let's put that back on then. All right, I need an approval of all of these things now.
So
these
moved.
Changes?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the changes presented?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion carried. Approval of May 31 and June 5 minutes.
So moved.
We need to change on 9. Well, that was Cindy's. Scott Jameson and Scott Jensen.
Which one are we talking about?
That's on May 31st.
Oh.
Frank has received a Better Roads grant for Caper Street to include culverts. Scott Jensen is the water resources guy, and it's not Jameson. Corrections. All those in favor of approving the June 5 minutes?
We have two, right? Do you want to do them separately? Or?
Well, let's do it. We're at June 5. Let's do that, and then we'll go for the other one. Doesn't really matter. As long as we get them approved. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Approval. May 31 minutes. Any corrections there? Anybody? I need a motion.
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes approved. Warrants for approval. We have a check warrant 18116 in the amount of $57,347.59, and that's for various accounts payable. And then we have a payroll warrant $18,115, and that is in the amount of $11,777.23. Does anybody want to look at either one of these?
I look at them.
Anybody else? So I need a motion.
I move we approve warrants 18115 and 18116.
Second that. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Warrants are set. Okay, Jimmy, road foreman's report, including by weekly road maintenance work plan. You're up.
I am.
You are.
Yeah, so I guess the bi-weekly plan as it stands right now, we've been grading roads and trying to get that all done, and we've been, these guys have been cleaning culverts out, cutouts out, and trying to get that maintenance caught up. But I'm in hopes on Monday to be able to start the Bridge Road project. So that will be two guys will be down there, and I'll be in grader. And there'll be times where somebody might have to move away from that job, and then I go down to that job, and I'll be switched in, and I'll be down there checking on it. And for the next 2 weeks, I know that's probably going to be just about how it's going to work. For and then if there's complaints or anything like that in between, I'll head over.
Have you seen anything that catches your eye? Is there a big problem out there? Any problem spots?
No, but I mean, we went around, we did some patching there, so the blacktop, so we did a lot of puddles, and stuff filled in. The biggest thing that I'm just seeing is a lot of brush and trees and stuff still laying inside the road, which that happened, through the winter or not, but it's hard, so that's why these guys have been going along cleaning stuff up ahead of me so I can at least get them graded.
Any maintenance issues?
When you say maintenance issues, as in road issues or?
No, vehicle equipment.
No, the only thing that I do see that the equipment down there, and I was kind of aggro going back, the grader was supposed to have been serviced every 500 hours. It had 850 hours on it. And I mentioned it to Art, and Art said that Frank told him that the budget was pretty tight, and so let's not do it. Mm. Let me tell you, you don't do that. Mm. That is a huge, huge no-no. Mm. I mean, the repair bills as it is, they're high as we look at it right now. But the simple reason being that we're hanging on to stuff longer. When you want to hang on to stuff as long as what you're going to hang on to, you got to take care of it. Mm. And I don't care how tight the budget gets, that's something that's going to be done. Mm. That is the biggest maintenance issue that I see with it as it stands right now.
Is that, do you have to bring more tracks in?
Yep, and actually what I did is so I got in touch with them today, or the other day, and then, so they sent me in a quote to service the grader and to service the loader.
It's pretty reasonable, so. Yeah, it's all pretty standard stuff, right?
Yep.
Jim, don't forget the tractor.
Yeah, I gotta get a call on the tractor.
No, I mean, I agree with you.
And then the other thing that I did have was truck number 3 is down to this ATG, and they've gone and done, let's see here, this is current, what they've gone and done to it so far, $7,000. But this is what they're asking for permission on to be able to do the rest of it, and that's an additional, I think, $2,300. So you're going to be pushing just $10,000 before that truck comes out.
What do they do for $7,000?
They redid the front end on it, like they always have, repacked it and all that. There were some brake issues with it, and I don't know, I didn't really look at it real hard yet because it was kind of fresh to me. They sent it to me, but I mean, just the downside to it is that I see about it is these front ends on these trucks are going to have to do that every 6 months. So if they're going to do it every 6 months, you're looking at $6,000 a year. That's, and you got a budget of $26,000 or whatever. That's going to be a hard So I think we really should watch that because, I mean, that's a figure that if we hang on to these four-wheel drives, keep these four-wheel drives going, you're going to deal with that cost every year with that.
So one of the things that came up this week that we learned is, have you heard anything through Two Rivers or anybody else yet about the FEMA declaration and, getting stuff ready for FEMA?
Did they talk about that today?
No.
We should be seeing something soon.
So,
they should call the. They usually call that meeting. They could usually call a meeting at District 4.
Okay.
And get all the road foremen together and talk about what the paperwork and all that stuff. So that should be coming up.
And they did. Me and Emily met with
Two Rivers today over the erosion. They did the erosion study, and then the new culvert study come in. And the culvert study showed really, really good on the art, and then we've been really doing the maintenance on the culverts because it's the red was 6% the last time they did it, and these guys had it chipped down to 2%, and they've added just about 100 more culverts. So, I mean, they think they're doing, you know, the pour was up a little bit, but 90% of the pour are steel culverts. So, that means that, you know, the old ones, they're just old and they've got to be replaced. I mean, they've been in there for a long time. So. But the other question that I did have on a few things is how many keys, and I mean, I know there's three keys to the garage. And there's three people that I know of that have the code, the alarm code to the garage. I'm looking to see on, because that key that we use down there right now, it's the same key I was using. So, and there's been people in and out of that door right along. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking to see on, for accountability, mm-hmm. on who has the keys and who has the codes mm-hmm. of that nature. Mm-hmm. So that is something that if we can figure out, that would be a wonderful thing to be able to do.
Or maybe you want to rekey it, relock it.
And I did mention this to me and I had talked about it.
Like it's two doors.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Change the locks or don't know.
Did you ever get an appointment with Royal Security to change the code on your security system?
No, that's still the security system. You were saying the alarm system.
The alarm system.
Yeah, that is still the same code. But
did she ever contact you?
Not me.
She did. She did me. They contacted me, but that was over the cameras. That wasn't over.
Oh, they never. She never talked to you because I called them, told them that we had quite a turnover and that maybe the codes needed to be the code that you get into the security system perhaps should be changed. That I didn't even know where the box was, so I wasn't going to be any help. But that we had quite a turnover in employees, and maybe that needed to be changed. And she said that she could schedule over the phone service call, so that they could walk you through changing that code.
Yep.
So if you've still got her number, call her back, and that will at least get you that security system so that it can be changed. And as far as the cameras were concerned, when I spoke to her about that, the camera person wasn't available at that point. And at the same time, I asked her again about the cameras. Because you can't get into those now, right? To find out what's going on. Well, I don't either, so.
Thank you. So what you have to do with the alarm system is you can give each person their own code. And then you know who's coming.
That's right.
And the other thing that I suggested to her was that if she would like to price out what it would take to get a fire alarm and a cold temperature alarm situation in there, it might save us some big bucks down the road. It might not. But once you've got the system installed, to add something that usually doesn't cost much. And I know in my mother's house, it saved the house four times, and that's a significant expense if you, freeze up a location like that.
Yeah. And then the other thing I did have was a few things I mentioned to Eric, like the garage roof down there. I mean, the tree had fallen on the garage roof, and I had never seen the tree on the garage roof. Well, it was all... There's a hole on the back side of the garage roof. I said, how come that won't take care of it? And he said, well, Frank was supposed to take care of it. And I've run into that a few times, as me and Eric have asked Eric a few different things. So I said, Eric, can you do me a favor and just sit down and write down the stuff that Frank said that he was going to handle or take care of so that I have an idea on accountability again. So he wrote me up this list right here, and I think that we just got to get this list and get some answers. I mean, however we work on it, but like some of the, you know, like the culvert grants and stuff of that nature, if you want me to be part of this, we got to figure out where this is all at. That's, I mean,
Yeah, a lot of this, I think, some of this I can see is stuff that Frank passed on to the board. Some of it is new.
But just, you
know. Yeah.
So a whole group, we need to take care of this.
You only see the grace of that hole in the roof. It's down near the eaves. That's the only saving grace.
Well, it needs to get fixed. It needs to get fixed.
It's still rotting something else.
The water's getting inside.
Yeah.
Can you take that list, John, and make copies for us all?
Yeah.
We should go ahead and approve this stuff, correct? Or authorize Jimmy to go ahead with the services and all of that?
Because I don't believe...
And whether or not we want him to go with the additional stuff for truck 3 or what we want to do there, we should make a decision on that so it doesn't hold that up.
Does it need to be done?
Yep, it does.
Then we got to do it.
Okay.
All those, I'll make a motion that we have to be... Oh, sure. I'm sorry. Just trying to move on.
So, just a quick question. We're close enough to the end of the fiscal year. Do you want, even though you've approved the work, do you want me to hold off paying bills until July? So during next year...
You probably won't get them before July. I would guess. I think we're going to be fine because we're not going to pay until the 1st of July either.
And then the other thing is, Emily, that we've got to put in for the service of the tractor.
We can just lump that all into one, I would think, just getting the equipment service that needs to be done.
Okay.
And just,
I move that we authorize Jimmy to do the rest of the service on the truck and get the grader and the loader and the tractor service for its annual or whatever service.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
None opposed? We're good to go. We'll see if we can get going on that other list, Jim.
Okay.
You need this back?
Well, you better have them back.
No, I've got copies of them.
All right, we have payment reviews and vendor selections. And each of you can order. There are only two in here.
This is for paper.
Yes.
You want one?
Thank you. Okay, let's hear some numbers.
So this one, the one I got is from Blacktop. Do you want the total price or do you want it broke out per with the road?
Well, let's start with the total price, and then if they're way off, we'll look at the individual roads, I guess.
Total price for doing the shoulder work and all of the paving is $218,188.90.
So that's shoulder work and paving?
Yes.
What have you got for Springfield paving, John?
Springfield paving, so for the paving portion, which includes the traffic control, is $191,667. And then for the shoulders is $9,632.
So that's $201,299 versus $218,188. If you're, you said $191,667?
Yes.
And $9,632?
Correct.
You thought Springfield Paving did an all right job the last time they came in here, didn't you?
Yeah.
You were not as impressed with Blacktop as the year before, is that correct?
No. Because they had to come back down by the North Pomper Fire Station and redo it.
That's
what they tried paving in the middle of the rain when they should have just stopped.
And does that include, on those proposals, that short stretch up on the top of Powell Hill?
It does not specify. It says a total of 1.7 miles by 23 inches wide, 23 feet wide. Just have to add up.
This one here, this has the Galaxy Hill Road apron. The Howe Hill Road patches, and the Pomfret Road, Library Street, and State Road.
How many miles?
And the Bartlett Brook.
Miles is Bartlett Brook Road to Tego, J Jaycox's to the town line, and then the section out on State Road.
It does not include that tenth of a mile, however.
Or the apron at Galaxy Hill. There's no way with 1.7 miles that he added that in.
But with you said yours was 0.95, 0.15, and 0.55, right? So that's only 1.65 miles.
And then there's 0.1 miles for Library Street. That's in the RMP, but if you add the fill it up, it comes to 1.75.
So Blacktop is still paving, still bidding on less mileage than Springfield pays.
0.95, 0.15, 0.55, 0.1.
Oh, 0.1. Okay, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, for Library Street.
So that's 1.75 as well.
And then they put the Galaxy Hill either and the Hathaway Apache. They didn't put a distance on the Hathaway Apache.
And that wasn't included in the RHP. Because Jimmy patched everything, has patched everything except that top.
Good.
What's the pleasure of the board here? Don't everybody speak at once.
I don't know if we've been happier with Springfield paving than Blacktop.
It's cheaper.
We didn't give them distances on Hill, so I mean, that's probably not.
We didn't give either one distances on Hill. But it was marked. Jimmy marked it. It was marked.
Well, they did mention it right here.
So do I hear a motion?
Make the motion to go ahead and hire Springfield Paving to do the projects.
Do I hear a second?
With or without the added shoulders?
With the shoulders.
Okay.
It's still cheaper with the shoulders, but yeah. $17,000. We the shoulders are impaired.
No, I know.
Don't you feel, Jim? And especially if it's impaired to get a hold in. Rudge Road Grant Project Completion. Do you want to speak to that with what we found out today, Jim? Or would you prefer that I do? You're the boss. Why don't you? You're the road manager.
We talked to Two Rivers there today, and the Rudge Road Project. And we have until the 31st, July 31st, to get the project done. But with the FEMA, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was something that went on right there that extended out the paperwork out until August 31st, correct?
Yeah, she said that if they started out with August 15th, the paperwork will be due by August 31st.
Yeah.
And you have till July 31st to get the project done. And she wants to come and look pictures, do pictures at the end. And Rita Sato. And the only question you had were those two culverts.
I do, and it's a very it's a big concern of mine because they got on the project, that we're going to do two driveway culverts. So I asked, and Rita said that it does slide in under the grant, but it depends on how the town policies are too. We do not have to do them culverts. So then I asked, okay, has somebody even approached these landowners and talked to these landowners about us digging up their driveway and putting it in? I mean, was there any communication there? And she said she really didn't know. And so, with that being said, then I was up to the top of the hill, and I met with Joanne today, and she just kind of addressed that one that goes underneath. I think it's in your driveway. Ron, you're right. You're wrong.
I don't think so, but...
Oh, okay.
But yes, you got Art and John and Frank all came, and we walked the road.
Yeah.
So Chuck Lucky, whose culvert would be done as part of it in the right way, he knows about it. He's okay. I mean, obviously he's okay with it.
Okay. But, and then, so anyways, but I think your driveway is way to the top of the hill right there. Well, Joanna was had to address the culvert that goes underneath your driveway at that point in time. So I'm thinking, well, I'm not for replacing driveway culverts. I think that's a bad policy.
I know when we had walked up there that day, the one that Chuck Lucky's there, the talk was to put one, instead of replacing his culvert, basically putting a cross culvert base, basically from the mouth of his driveway culvert going across the road back into the brook so that we didn't have to do a driveway culvert, but to get the water coming down that side back to the appropriate side. Because, yes, if you start doing driveway culverts, then you potentially set...
And then the next one up, what was the agreement on the next one up? Because that one's in there, too.
Replacing the driveway culvert?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Do you remember our culvert? I don't think we're...
It was because of the way the water comes down, not where the brook is, but where the water comes down into the road, it gets to their driveway, and there's no place for it to go. And we had that water bar that cuts way over to the brook, so to avoid having that big pile of washed silt there, Frank suggested putting one there and going to the brook again, so that they have essentially two driveway culverts, one where the brook crosses, and then one at the end of the road.
And the silt problem and everything, if you're going to line the ditches, I mean, it shouldn't be as much of a concern. I mean, that's why you're lining ditches, is to get away from that. So, I mean, in my mind,
Eric, it's time for you to go on.
Light's
on.
If we're going to do it, we need to be ready for others that want theirs done. I mean, and I'm not going to take anything away from anybody, but take your dad, for instance. That culvert and all that, up, and that was all on him somewhere. He didn't know town. He didn't know nothing. I think that all the way around, I don't think it's a good idea.
So let me make sure I understand. On the lower one, you weren't going to do a driveway culvert. You were going to go across the road?
Correct.
And on the other one, that isn't feasible? It's
no,
on the other side of the brook, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I'm not for driveway culverts, unless you're going to take over every driveway culvert in town.
That's right.
But there's also a time when, you know, there are potentially special circumstances, as long as you document it correctly and why you did it and why you're doing it, but not just go and do it. That may make sense, and that may be a place that it needs to be done, because that the driveway culvert there where the brook is quite a ways
back
into the driveway, so you still have all of that water that's coming down that side, and given the pitch, all of it running across the driveway is an issue. So, you know,
if we had drafted up like that or wrote up, and the homeowner is all agreed on it, that once we put it in, it's not the town department's responsibility. And somebody, we need to really approach the homeowner just to say, hey, this is what we got to clean your property up. Maybe they were just didn't even buy that culvert.
Didn't they come out? I think they were out briefly when we were up there. I know we asked about cutting trees and stuff.
Yeah.
No, they were basically for whatever we needed to do to mitigate the problems up there. One would still want to, you know, whatever the final plan is, would still want to make sure that they knew what was going on.
Yeah.
But they were certainly amenable to doing what needed to be done. So.
And that's my only question is that just as long as that we're, you know, if it's in black and white, the reason why we did it, and this is why, I mean, I think you've got to be, like you said, you're going to have to be the documented right to do it so that not everybody else thinks that, oh, wait a minute, you did this. Because, and Joanna did bring up the on the end of their driveway, that, you know, that culvert there, and I climbed down in the end of it and looked at that. And so, I mean, you've got to be ready to say no to that one when just down the road, you know, and, you know, if that question ever does come about.
Is there any other solution there to keep the silt out of the brook rather than putting in this driveway? I mean, I think I would feel more comfortable doing it if we're trying to solve a road problem and a silt problem, but I'd feel more comfortable if the landowner would pay for the culvert, and while we're dealing with the ditch, we'll just put it in, and it's a one-shot deal. We're going to put it in because we're doing the whole road on the grant, but we're not going to keep maintaining it. It's going to be up to you to maintain this culvert and have that agreement in writing so that they know. But and so we could talk to them.
Yep.
And so do you want?
I can speak to him. I know Todd pretty
good. Why don't you give him see if you can talk to him and see what. I mean, what's a culvert like that going to cost? $300?
$240.
It's not like it's a great amount of money. If we put it in for them, they should be happy as a plan.
So I'll speak to them about it. Then.
Well, is it that was my opinion. That is the board comfortable with that? Joan, is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you do that?
And that'll give another thing. The other thing that I did have with it that I asked Rita was, where did this number come from on doing the project? And I asked for a materials list, and there isn't one. There's no, just a magic number, I guess. There's no, I thought that was a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know the number. I don't know if there was a ceiling that we could apply for. I don't remember. Frank, as far as I know, applied for that grant. And
how it got applied or anything.
So I don't know the particulars of it.
It would be nice if there was one that it was, you know, available to me, because you're talking quite a bit of work there. I mean, to do what you've got to do, you're going to have to pick your spots and do it. You're not going to be able to do the whole road unless you're going to dump a lot of money into it. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Well, yeah, you know, doing our, you know, ourselves, it's, you know, our contractor wouldn't pay for probably a quarter of it if you did the whole thing. But
that's right.
You know, but whether or not we got a grant for it, it's something that's got to be done anyways.
Yep.
So maybe it should have been more again, and maybe there was a ceiling that we could apply for it. I don't know. But in my opinion, we do the whole road. You take all the grant money and whatever else it costs
to put it,
what it costs, yep. Get it done right and be done with it.
I think what they're doing is, they are pulling out a number that you are qualified, or they will offer to you for a project. For instance, in this next year, they will give us a grant of $17,300, and we will have to participate $4,300, which is our local match, but it can be in-kind work, like paying for labor or that kind of thing. So that it's not like we have to, that has to be an out-of-pocket expense. But they're just picking these numbers out of a hat. And then they're helping us to determine where we may need the most help. And then the money will go as far as it will go.
Pool of money and they're offering so much.
This is not like we're applying for this grant. They're just offering this grant. If we can accept it or deny it in this coming one that's coming along. And I assume that this was the same deal, and we chose Run Road, as I recall. Yeah. Was that not correct?
That's correct. And now that you've talked about it, I do remember that it was just, here's the dollar amount we're going to give you, what do you want to do for this project? And that's why we walked the road with John, Frank, myself, Rita, and we went down through and said, this is what we'd like to do to it, and they agreed to it, and this is the amount of money you're going to get. And like Jimmy said, there was no list of, hey, we're going to spend $10,000 on hard pack, or $5,000 on a 7-inch stone to put in the ditch, or you're going to spend $3,000 to do the culverts. There was nothing about that. It was,
so basically, we got lump sum grant, and we could have chosen to do it anywhere. We chose to work on what Rush Road. And we may not get that project done for $21,000, but the project needs to be done.
Right. It does.
Yeah,
So are we happy with talking about Rudge Road? Are we done with that now?
No.
And wait a question.
Yes.
I got designated tonight. About the other eight people in the room.
We're sorry, honey. We're sorry.
So you're going to start Monday?
Yep.
2 weeks?
That's our plan.
Roughly?
Yep.
Pending weather?
Yep.
So as far as road closure, and you know, we got 9 cars, we got to, can't park them all at the bottom, if you guys need to get in and out for equipment, so start time, end time, road back open, all that kind of stuff.
Well, I talked to your mom there today.
Mother-in-law.
Mom.
Close enough.
And when I talked to her, you know, like I told her, so we're going to go, like the trees, I'm not essentially going to the top, but starting at the top. I mean, I'm going to start cutting the trees at the bottom and work our way up. But once we get started on replacing the culverts, the first thing we're going to do is replace the culverts first, and then we'll go back, and then we're going to ditch to the culverts accordingly, because who knows what's underneath here and where the culverts are really going to lie. So once we get them set, then we'll go back and we'll start ditching. So as far as the inconvenience in road closure, I mean, we're going to try and be down there about 6, maybe like 6:15, 6:30, we'll be down there in the morning, and we'll be packed up and out of there about 4 o'clock.
Okay, so if anyone needs to get out for work, they should get their car to the bottom of the road before...
Yeah, or like I said to her today, is we're going to start at the top, so you might be able to work something out. One of the neighbors just to be able to park at the end of the driveway. So it's not all the way down to the bottom, because if we start congesting the bottom of that, and if we got trucks or something that's going to come right in here, that's going to become a hazard to us.
We'll park at John's.
We can park a couple cars over there.
But you see what I mean? So, I mean, you might, and as time goes on, I mean, you know, you have to keep going further down the hill.
Right.
You won't have to park all the way down the bottom if you can work something else.
And so road's back open at 4:30.
Yep. And then the other thing I did talk to her about was the wood. And she said she might run out by you and see.
Yeah.
Ron says take the wood away and don't split it.
Do others might feel differently.
Do you want it gone? Is that what we're talking about?
We'll get in touch with you before Monday.
Okay. And then I did talk to her about we're going to use the top up there for a staging area so that we can dump some stone up there and then have a loader down there instead of coming in time and up and everything. It'd just be quicker to have a loader. We'll be able to dump it as we go and park it in. So we're going to put some culverts up there. Put the culverts up there so that it's all ready.
It's a town parking lot, anyways, right?
Well, she said that. But like I told her, it still is. We'll see it. Most will take care of it.
I'm going to send a carrier pigeon down to Vigo to get her paper.
But it should go pretty soon.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions?
Yep.
And now you have your answer from your email the other day. Okay, Caper Street grant project. We did get the grant for the 2 culverts on Caper Street. And Jimmy, we're going to get those plans and get the culverts ordered, and we'll get that sometime. Try and get that sometime done before fall, right, Jim? If we can.
We'll try. Yep.
And so, does anybody have any questions on that? Okay, Grants and Aid Municipal Roads. We have some paperwork here. received from Two Rivers. There's two grants. One, we are given a grant for this grants and aid program, and these are for construction projects on hydrologically connected roads. The project should be completed by October 31st, 2019, or if more time is necessary. The final completion date of June 30, 2020. And my thought is that we probably won't make it until 2020 with these other projects. And the amount of money that we will get in that grant is $17,300, our 20% local match, cash or in kind, will be $4,325, and so that will make it total of $21,625, and we talked with the representative today, Alan Rickett, was it? And we'll figure out, he just did a survey of the roads, and we'll figure out where we might use that for next year. But we don't have to know that to complete this form to sign on for this grant. And so I need a motion to fill out the paperwork for this, and which has to be in by July 3. And we would indicate that we would do the anticipated project completion date by June 30, 2020. And so I need a motion. Do you want to accept this grant?
I make a motion to accept the grant and fill out the paperwork as needed.
Do I have a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so we will send that. Now, there's a second part of this deal that is we are also eligible for an equipment grants and aid program. And some of the things that you might want to buy would be roller compactors for the grader. They give you $7,500. A maximum state grant would be 6,000 leaf blowers. We have one of those. Hydro seeders to accelerate revegetation of disturbed soil areas. They would give us $6,000. plate or jumping jack compactors to install drainage culverts. They would give us $3,200. And our participation would be $800. Tractor mounted shoulder discs to remove high road shoulders. Or hay bale shredder to distribute hay mulch on disturbed areas. So those are the equipment things that we might want to ask for money for, and we can decide what you think you would become most useful. I would think that the roller compactor we wouldn't get. We might do a hydro seeder or a plate or jumping jack compactor. And I guess those would be my two thoughts. And I guess probably the compactor would be the one that you would use the most right away.
Right away, yeah, it would be. I mean, it's kind of a toss-up between the two, really.
You go with the more expensive item if you're going to buy both. Then you can buy the other one yourself.
Yeah.
So do you want me to fill this out for a hydro seeder?
Yep. Please.
And so I need a motion to that effect.
Make a motion that you fill out the grant for a hydro seeder.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? None. Away we go. Okay. Amendment to road crew job description. Oh, wait a minute. We were comment update. I received a call from ESC or ECS regarding a contract, and that has not been forthcoming. So I will yank his court a little bit tomorrow and see if I can determine what's happened to that. He was going to have that contract put together for us, and I'll touch base with him tomorrow. I had kind of forgotten about that. Does anybody have any other thoughts regarding that? Okay, I'll do that. Hiring of an amendment of road crew worker job description. The question was that we had asked for quarterly reviews for the road foreman because Jill Muir had suggested that that was a better way to handle things. We did not change that in the road crew worker job description. And so do we wish to change that to, say, a quarterly verbal review as we did with the road foreman, or do we want to leave it as an annual review as it stands now?
It should be consistent.
Well, that was my thought, which is why I emailed that suggestion back to you. And so I need a motion if we wish to change it.
And just to clarify, we actually, for the road foreman, it was we said it would be a quarterly document, not a review, but just a, let me get the precise language, just so we use the same language. So what we wrote in the road foreman, and we can use the same exact language under the evaluation session, we wrote, the select board will also conduct quarterly documented check-ins to monitor progress on job performance and to aid in more effectively completing annual evaluation. But in this case, it would, rather than the select board, it would say the road foreman, since Jim is responsible for those evaluation check-ins.
So do I have a motion to change that language?
Wouldn't you want to make sure that's written?
Yeah, that's what it's, it says.
I didn't hear you say written.
It says documented.
Documented.
You might want me to read it back, Bert?
No, I missed it.
Well,
yeah, it says the select board.
Sorry, but documented could be a recording, it could be written, it could be word of mouth.
It could be verbal with note statement.
Exactly. So, documented has a whole lot of definitions.
As I recall, we didn't...
Well, written could mean notes, too. So, I mean, you can split hairs over it if you want.
But
it's black and white on paper. If it's written...
Was our intent with the road foreman's job description to have a conversation, a documented conversation, not a written review every quarter?
It's not a written review. Basically, what it would be, and this is what we discussed with Jill, is you just want to have some documentation that says, we met with this person on this date. These are the things we talked about. Here's the progress that has been made. Here's the things that we highlighted. You know, that's what you're documenting.
Correct, but that is not like an annual written review.
No.
I just wanted to clarify in my mind that that's what we were discussing.
No, it's really just this was one of the glaring things.
It's more of a progress report.
Yes,
correct.
It's not a review, it's a progress report.
Exactly.
And that would be probably the statement I would put in.
Correct.
It's a quarterly progress report.
Right, so let me read it back. Conduct quarterly documented check-ins to monitor progress on job performance and to aid in more effectively completing the annual evaluation.
Because that lets your employee, regardless of who it is, whether it's the road foreman or a road worker, lets them know if there's anything they need to correct.
Before the end of the year.
Correct.
Do I have a quote? Go ahead, Steve.
Just one thing while we're on this subject. I'm not sure if we want to put that in here, or if it's something that we need to do as a board, but there should be a calendar
set up as to when these are going to happen, so everybody knows.
We can talk about that. Well, that's a good subject. But you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and everybody knows that, you know, we can be looking forward to Jimmy and saying, okay, well, whatever this August, we need to.
So that way, whoever's doing the review knows when it's supposed to be done, and
that's
being reviewed knows when.
Right, exactly.
So do I have a motion?
So moved.
Do I have a second? Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? Okay, appointment of designated employee representative for drug enforcement testing. Frank was that, and he is no longer. And Ellen took care of requesting Jimmy's pre-employment drug test. And she filed the paperwork for that in his personnel file. Or in his file.
I'm kind of a secondary contact right now as it is. So...
But it last time, Frank, too bad he's not here, he's the guy who most of the first thing, but last time we talked about it should be somebody on the board, and it can be somebody on the road for the SIC call.
It can't be somebody that calls his
subject to.
I'll volunteer for you to designate me that for the short term, and I would like to look into it some more and see just what they are looking for, but I will do it for the short term at least, if you all wish for me to do that.
Okay, good. I move that we appoint Emily as the designated employee representative. Do you want to put a date on it?
I'll do some research and look. You may be acting road commissioner for the short term, and we didn't put a date on that. And let's just see how things fly. You can tell me not to do it at any time, and that'll be fine. My feelings won't be hurt. But seeing that you have me do these other duties, because Frank was doing it, I'll do this for the short term. We'll figure this out. When we get these grants and stuff squared away, maybe we can come to some kind of conclusions and work along the way. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The DEC base offer was this offer for that grant, so that is not a separate item, so we can take that off. Purple Crayon Productions payment in lieu of taxes. I put this on there. The listeners have informed me that Purple Crayon has now asked to discuss payment in lieu of taxes, and I think that it should be separate entirely from the other Purple Crayon production situation that we're trying to negotiate. I'm sorry, Ona?
Did you skip the hiring of a fourth road crew member?
I believe we did. Can I finish this and then go back to that?
Sure, that works for me.
Okay, it worked for me too.
All right.
I'm sorry we're out of order. Anyway, I spoke with Ben Richter briefly day before yesterday. He had helped the listers with this project of determining what was and was not or should or should not be included in any tax negotiations and tax thank you. And so he's quite familiar with the situations down there regarding the taxes, and also he has brought up in the past some rather interesting ways to, that we might fund a payment in lieu of taxes, or ask for a payment in lieu of taxes that would be more than just a yearly contribution, that we have to go back every year and discuss with them. And so I would suggest that we ask Brenda Brickner to help one board member to go down and negotiate a payment in lieu of taxes thing. The listers would like this to happen before they close the books so that they can set the tax rate. I feel that this should be totally separate from the Zoning Board of Adjustment thing. And so I will go down with him unless someone else has a burning desire. I have no burning desire, but I'm willing to do that. I feel he has the expertise, and at the bare minimum, I think the figure is $10,000, $200 or $300 that we're going to lose in taxes this year from the municipal tax side of things. And so we need at least to recover that amount if possible. He had some thoughts regarding if we could get them to give us an endowment, so to speak, that would cover those payment in lieu of taxes so that we wouldn't have to negotiate over time. That may or may not be something that we can do. And then the second thing is if we get an offer and a negotiation that seems acceptable, and it is at least what we're going to get in tax, lose in taxes, is that acceptable? Do we have the authority to say, yes, we'll accept that, or do we need to come back to the board and ask for permission to accept that?
Everything has to ultimately be accepted by the board. So.
Okay, so you will want us to come, once we get an offer, you will want us to come back to the board for final approval.
Yeah, I mean, the same holds true for anything, same like the other negotiations.
That was my thought, I just wanted to be clear.
Yeah.
Okay, so do we need a motion to...
motion to appoint.
So does somebody want to do that?
I move we appoint Ben Brickner and Emily to negotiate with Purple Crown Productions in formulating a payment in lieu of taxes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Do you just want to go ahead and do the other update since we're on Purple Crown? It'll just take a minute.
Is that okay? As long as we don't forget you, yes.
So Frank and I met with Frank, Joe McLean, we met with Purple Crown yesterday. The short version of the two plus hour meeting was that we are going to do a markup of a proposal that they made to us. I think the next step after, once the three of us do a markup of Purple Crown's proposal, we'll circulate it with the board and we'll have to have an executive session on that so that you all can get briefed on what the markup looks like before it goes back to Purple Crown, so that you guys get some insight as to where we're at. But basically, we're still in back and forth mode. Vacations are coming up. We're probably going to have to extend again, so this is going to go well into July. But the hope is that, you know, we can put this thing to bed sometime soon. We haven't found common ground yet, but we're getting closer. But I think as soon as we mark this up and have an executive session, I think that would be a good point for us to get away.
And you discussed earlier that the scope, they wish to widen the scope. Has that, the reason I'm asking, I was approached by the chairman of the Zoning Board of Adjustment, and he is very concerned that the scope not be widened.
Yeah, I think without getting into more sensitive details, the short of it is that
it's less about scope than it is about certainty. And I can't really, it's hard to go, it's trying to have some predictability around the process, but it's getting in the weeds on that is probably something we should talk about in the executive session.
Okay.
But I hear what you're saying.
Well, I'm just relaying
the concern
that I was approached, and he made a special effort to come down and talk for quite a lot, and I just thought it was my job to relay that information to you, because there is, on the Board of Adjustment, there is a concern.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we'll just let it go with that.
Okay.
Now we're back to hiring of a fourth road crew member or a part-time hire.
So I put that back on. I brought it up last meeting and so forth, but I had a brief conversation with Jimmy about this, and just looking into it myself, I see a need for the fourth person. I mean, these guys have got all summer putting in culverts.
We need at least somebody for the summer, somebody to basically run the mower. My thought, and roads need to start being mowed now because the invasives are going to be going to seed here pretty quick. And
once they come to seed, they've already got it all mowed for that.
Yeah. So it's definitely time to start doing the roads. And honestly, if we start the process now, we're not going to have somebody here in time to mow the roads before the poison arsenic goes to seed. So I don't know what we're going to do there. But
what about hiring a contractor? We can be more quick. If you think it's going to be,
yeah. Your chance of getting a contractor in here in the next 2 weeks is next to nil. I mean, those mowing contractors, when they were hired before, you put out a thing in March, and they still told you when they would come. You didn't tell them.
Why not try both, just so we have both?
Well, I have an alternative to this, but I didn't want to let the discussion just be dropped, because when we made the decision to hire a working road foreman, that was going to increase our work crew by four, up to four. And at that time, we had no idea that one of our employees was leaving. So we were acknowledging that we needed four people. If you want that discussion to continue on, that's fine. In the short term, if you need a part-time person, Kevin Sawyer, who used to work for the town, I had a conversation with him this morning, and he said that he would come in and run our mower on Fridays and Saturdays if we wanted him to.
If you're going to offer that, why don't you offer it to the employees that are here first?
So we don't have to pay overtime.
You're going to pay him a higher rate per hour than you pay us.
Yeah.
So you don't have to pay him the benefits.
He said he would come back for the same hourly rate that he was at when he was here.
Omer, you had a question?
I did, because I think you ought to offer it to John Moore. I saw this man going through town with his own mower and whatever, and doing the roadsides already. I think you should offer it to John using your tractor and your mower. And he could get out better than with this mower that is for Haiti.
He doesn't have the time to do it, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
Which brings it to that we have to go through a hiring process, if this is what we're going to do, which teams in it, you know, I don't know what, you know, if we're talking voting, it needs to be done now. And if you're going to go through the hiring process, it's going to take a while, which means they don't mind hiring somebody to mow your roads.
Emily?
Meaning what? Meaning hiring a full-time person to do, or
even
hiring anybody technical? I mean, yeah, if they want to get into the weeds, I mean, we can get into the weeds, because we had to do things to the team correctly when we hired Jimmy, which is why I'm not here anymore. So if we're going to do things to the team, we're going to do things to the team regardless of what needs to be mowed in town. I'm sorry, but...
Did you have your hand up, Christine?
No, I just think that the fourth road crew member hiring a fourth person is a necessity. I mean, our storms are getting more severe, it seems like, year after year, and unfortunately Art last year didn't have much of a road crew, so he had to spend the time in the tractor, and everything else kind of took a back seat. So I really think that we need a fourth crew member, and not only will it help in the summertime, but the long term in the wintertime. The roads are going to get filed and sanded faster, more efficiently. There's plenty to do. It's not just roadside mowing. I mean, there's a lot of tree work that should be done, and there's just endless things. I think that, you know, when you discussed hiring a working road foreman, you approved to hire a man to fill that position, so you acknowledged the fact that, like Steve said, that you were willing to have a fourth person. And although I think Jimmy's doing a great job, I still think with another worker, that needs to happen. We need another person, because this next year, the same roadside mowing is going to need to be done. There's just so many things. I just think that we need a fourth person. And to start this process sooner rather than later is better. Same thing with the trucks. You know, by the time we get this truck RFP up, we're not going to get this truck in time. Next year, at the end of the summer, probably, if we're lucky. I just think that we need to make decisions faster. As I've been coming and listening to these, that's kind of what I gather.
I am for a fourth person.
That I am
for short term.
I mean, I suppose you could hire, without going through the proper process, you could hire somebody to come in and work per diem, basically, to do the work. And, you know, if they want to go through the process of being hired either for a permanent part-time or a permanent full-time, that there wouldn't be any preference given to the fact that they are currently working here per diem.
But I think if you're going to have a part-time job, you need to make sure it's pretty clear to everybody else, and not just solely because I have had an individual in town come up to me and say, hey, you know, I'm going to be retiring, and I might be interested in whether I'm going to work. So I think you need to make sure, before any decisions like that are made, it should be somewhere that needs to be made public that that's what you're looking for, too, because that was a very deliberate meeting content.
Okay, so here's the thing. We have no money for a fourth road crew member in next year's budget. That is a given. I think it's also a given that in next year's budget, we're underfunded on maintenance by about $20,000, bare minimum, maybe 30, at least 20. So we need the roads to be mowed, need roadside mowing. I couldn't agree with you more. When we put the initial offering out to road foreman and decided that if we had a fourth person, that would be okay and we'd see how things flew, we decided to open that up to everyone. And I think it's only fair to do that. Even though if you have our existing road crew members come in on Friday and Saturday, if they so choose to do roadside mowing, and they want to do that, I feel that for the short term, to be fair to everyone, is the best route to go to get the mowing done. And now that's my personal opinion, and you could open that up to any one of them. Maybe one of them wanted to come in on Sunday. They all know how to run the mowing machine.
But there's enough other stuff they could be coming in and doing too,
and
on Friday and Saturday without having to come.
And so if our If we are behind, if our road crew, we've already paid them the benefits, that doesn't matter how many hours they put in, those benefits are already there. They're going to cost us the same regardless. So in the short term, because it is going to take us a month to hire a new person, even if we figure out where we're going to find the money. And, you know, if you hire another person, you're talking, a significant shortfall somewhere. So, or you're going to have to come back to the voters. And we may need a fourth road crew member. And when we discussed it a couple of weeks ago, we said, let's let Jimmy get his feet wet and see how things are going. And he told us that. So, the way I think about it is, if we want to be fair to everyone, and if we're going to hire a part-time person for mowing, that should go out to everyone, just as we did with the road foreman position. And so if we want to get the roadside mowing done in addition to the Rudge Road project and the Caper Street project that have to get done, then we should offer overtime employee to the three employees that we have.
Yeah, and if we need to make mowing the roads, at least the blacktop, especially where the poison parsnip is a priority before it goes to seed.
And there is one thing, Oma. He goes really fast with that mower of his. You don't go near as fast with what the road crew is using.
And I know, I was watching it.
It's because it's a lot narrower.
But he gets out there too.
He flips for a
wire.
I'll make a suggestion if you want to do it. I'll volunteer my time to take the 7-foot mower, and I'll do not the guardrails and not the stuff that doesn't need it, but I'll get the most of it done on the paved roads, and it'll probably take about a day.
There you go. Thank you, John.
And it'll get done, so then you guys can figure out what, you still have a lot of mowing left to do with the mower, but that would at least take care of the parsnip.
Thank you, John.
I'd make a motion that we extend the order time to the guys that want to come in and work Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. They want to rotate or assign them for
them. The only thing I can honestly tell you, I've been there. Enough.
Oh, I'm not saying you're going
to want. No, 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 no. I've had a guy that one of the road guys that come in, and number one, Saturdays is a lot of traffic. The traffic is increased on Saturdays and Sunday. Who wants to be out somewhere on Sunday? That was one thing I dealt with, and then the other thing I had to deal with is issues on Fridays. So it's essential that if someone's in there working, I got to be here. The other guy, me as the road foreman, is going to be tied down too. If that tractor breaks down, glass gets smashed out. I mean, you're asking not just one person to do it. Essentially, you're asking two people to do this. If that thing breaks down on Friday, someone's got to go hit it. Someone's got to help them. That's my thing of it is I mean, I understand you guys want to get it done, and you fully do. I do. I've been down that road. I've had to deal with tractor, flat tire, this, that.
Yeah, I get it. So, I mean, then the other option is somebody's going to have to be in there a week.
That's right. That's...
Which means two people doing whatever needs to be done, so...
Why don't we accept John's offer to do the main road with his 7-foot mower? That'll get rid of an awful lot of the weeds. It won't get rid of them all, but that'll make it look a heck of a lot better. And in the meanwhile, we'll sit down with Jim, and we'll try and figure out some way that we could make the situation work so we could get behind the guardrails in the places where... the 7-foot mower, but at least the 7-foot mower, for the most part, the way I see it, or at least with my simple bar, it'll take those intersections where you can't see anything, and it'll get rid of 7 feet of trouble. And that's a start, and it's a very generous offer.
It is.
And maybe I shouldn't speak to the generous offer because he's my brother, but I don't know.
There's no money to change.
I'll take a gift more to the mouth if I can get one.
Hey, I was the first one to thank you.
Yes, Oma.
Okay, because we have a pea brain, I'm tired. We got swamped today, so I'm extra tired tonight. Now, John has a 7-foot mower. Okay? So, what is the town right away on people's property? From the yellow line, how far out onto somebody's property is the town responsible for?
12 feet-ish.
12 feet off the blacktop?
Well, you're not responsible for it, but that would be the amount that we could, 12, 13 feet that we could legally mow without permission.
How long is that? You're cutting half that.
4 feet. So you've been taking at least 8 feet religiously. And sometimes you take a third pass.
Well, we've been doing 3 passes.
So he's not going to get any more than what Art has been getting all along.
Okay, well, I was just trying to figure that out because, you know, if John's got 7 feet out there.
Make sure you tip it up this way, though. When you go down through it, it's a 9 times left.
But typically on the roads where we could reach it.
We got 3 passes.
We did 3 passes without chopping.
Right, but okay. Thanks.
Have we got any buy-in with that solution?
That's what I'm thinking.
Scott?
I'm not going to say anything. I mean, I think it's all good, but I know the reaction I'm going to get when I talk about workers' comp and liability and all that good stuff, so I'm not going to say anything. But I support it, but we just got to dot the I's and cross the T's.
Okay, so all those, I'll make a motion that we investigate further and talk with Jimmy regarding a 4th group road crew member or a part-time road crew member and a funding issue. And in the meanwhile, we'll accept John Moore's offer to mow down through once on the main roads with his 7-foot mower, as best as he can do it. Is there a second? All those in favor of that, say aye. Aye. Scott, you just want to keep silent?
I'm just not going to say anything.
Okay. I guess the ayes have it. And now we'll go back to, where were we? Love Bounty probate form approval. Did this get put in the packet?
Yes.
This is the probate form that we have to sign for Alan to do that paperwork.
In case people weren't aware of it, the money in the Labounty Fund is actually a trust given to the town. We're allowed to spend the earnings on it, but not the principal. And one of the requirements of the trust is that we have to file this annual probate report and give them what the balances are and what we spent the money on and things like that. If we fail to comply with the requirements of the trust, then the Ogwechee Health Center gets the money instead.
So do I have a motion to sign the paperwork for the Labonte Trust?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? None. So we need to sign, I think we all need to sign the document.
For all of us, yeah.
Okay, before Ellen leaves, we've got several CDs here. They are coming due by June 30th. There's a highway vehicles CD for $111,000, and she would like to put the $73,000 in it. It's in the budget for the vehicles, too. Do we want her to do that? We voted to have her redo that one for 6 months at the last meeting. And do we want her to put that $73,000, $100 in that same CD for 6 months? We won't be getting the truck for 6 months, even at the very best, will we?
Not if we don't get to our visa.
So do I have a motion for that?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
None opposed? Okay, then we have the... You think there's a second page?
There's a second page that requires your body signatures to go.
Then we have a communications equipment reserve for $16,000. That is due on the 23rd of June. That's a one-year CD. Do we wish to renew that?
Are we going to do anything with this repeater?
Well, that was one of the things that got dropped in the shuffle as well. And I suggest we renew the CD, and maybe we can do all three of these at once so we don't have to continue to do motions. Mainly, the last conversation we had, and I meant to get hold of him and prior to this meeting, and I did not, is that Phil was going to try and get the easement.
Yeah.
And we said we wouldn't put more money in there until we had an easement so that we could get there to service it. And so I will put on my list, Phil.
We also only have a year to complete the build. Otherwise, we have to reapply to the FCC for a license.
And when does that year end?
I'd have to look in my emails, but March maybe.
Okay.
February, March.
I'll try and get hold of Bill. We have $15,000. We have the CD for the communications equipment, the fire department non-vehicle, $23,866, and the Lister appraisal that is coming due on the 29th of June for $94,000. And with that one, we have $15,000 appropriated to go to the Lister appraisal, and we can put that in that CD. So do I have a motion, or I'll make the motion to renew the communications equipment CD, the fire department non-vehicle reserve CD, and the Lister appraisal CD, plus adding the $15,000 that's in this current year's budget, to renew all three of those CDs and add that appropriate amount to the last one to increase it. Will anyone second that motion?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. There's a $73,000 $100 in the budget for highway vehicle reserve. You want to put that in a six-month term in case we might get a truck? That's in this year's budget. It's going into the vehicle reserve.
Yeah.
So we'll put that one, all those in favor, I move that we put the $73,100 into a six-month CD with MACCU for the vehicle, highway vehicle reserve. Do I get a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? There's $10,000 in the budget for town buildings. This will stay in the due-to from account for paying for the balance of the brick building repairs. Is that acceptable to everyone? We're going to need about $7,500 of that. And also, we had in the budget indicated that $75,000 would go out of the rainy day fund into a building reserve. Are we going to use any of that money immediately for any project? So can she put that into the building reserve CD? Right, a CD. I so move that we take the $75,000 from the rainy day fund and have Ellen put it in a six-month CD? Year?
You know better what you might be doing with buildings. Is that either one's fine with me?
I don't think.
I'd say a year, probably.
Put it in 1 year, so for 1 year. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed? So we'll do that. Did we do anything else? Did we forget anything, Ellen?
No, I think that was it. The
I think we're all set. That's going to be next, and Karen's here. Alright, we're done with that and the CDs. And now Karen's here with the Dunn property. And, pardon? Karen, what?
No, she's out here talking.
So she'll come back. This is the remap. I don't know whether you all saw that or not. It was in Ellen's folder. So Karen, is all of that is all the money that we spent on your accounting is all the money that we spent on getting the Dunn property sold and everything, right?
My accounting is all the money that we spent on for what I like up to date to what when we sold it with the bidder.
Okay.
And anything after that, like the lawyer that you hired for to do the bill of sale, any of that, the notification in the paper, any expenses that you incurred in selling the property needs to be added to the spreadsheet.
Okay.
But it is all up to date from when we had the opening bid.
Okay. So what we've got to determine, what we've got to have Ellen find out is that we need to know what Michael spent on legal fees to get that deed done, and what.
So the legal fees were $250 taken out at the closing.
Taken out of the closing. So
that's been paid.
So that's been paid. And were there? What about advertising?
There were two newspaper ads that I think I've cited on that. So those were the only expenses I was aware of. If they're
so, then that's the so this $23,875 is what we got into the tax sale. So we owe Joan Dunn $11,229.85.
That's as I see it, unless there are other fees to the town that by law we're allowed to take that are
as I read that email that you sent, we cannot collect any of the taxes from the time we owned it until we sold it, correct? From your lawyer that you've got, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we're just out those taxes because we owned it. So I need a motion to have Ellen cut a check to Joan Dunn for the difference, which is $11,229.85.
I think there we have to pay interest on that money too. If we pay her back, I think that I think there's some obligation to pay interest on it.
If it's an escrow, but it's not, that you haven't put it into an escrow.
I haven't, but.
That she would get any money if within an escrow account she would get the like you would put the $11,000 into an escrow and then she would get the interest earned on that, but since it's not in an escrow account and it's interest has not been earned on it unless it's in your account and the interest is earned on that.
Right, there has been interest earned on that, but I wasn't sure if the requirement was that since we're holding her money no matter where we hold it, are we obliged to pay her interest?
Only if you're earning interest on the money.
Okay, it's based on our earnings, not the obligation then?
Right.
Okay.
So, John, move that. We need a second.
Second.
All those in favor of having Ellen cut a check for $11,229.85 to Joan Dunn to finally settle the tax sale Joan Dunn properties, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? None. And you have permission, Alan.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. Where are those bids? They need to go back in this file as well. For Ellen to put in the vault or in her records.
Do you want to copy of them so we can decide that?
Yep.
I'll come up and get them on Friday. I'll email the winning bidder and the losing bidder, and then I'll make phone calls on Friday. I've got the email. The important thing is that they don't call me there and they get lost. Oh, you need this as well, because we had seen this. You've done the RFP negotiations. Any other items before select board correspondence?
Just an update on HR.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that. It was something like that.
So I have been in email conversation with three different people who provide the kind of HR assistance we have been looking for. All three of them are available and have provided me with some preliminary quotes, which I can share with the board. What I would suggest for the board as a next step is that we either as a full board have them come in to present their services to us and you know hear what they have to say and talk to them and learn from them, or maybe just two of us. Maybe the board appoints me and one other person to interview these three contractors and see if we can come up with a recommendation for the board and see where we go. But all three of them sound very promising. And Jill Muir was the one who referred me to all three of them. So we've got three good references to work with. So I would move that we appoint one other board member to work with me to talk with these three contractors and try and put together a proposal for the board that the board can consider.
Okay.
Alden?
Is one of those three Cynthia Hewitt, applicant?
No, she hasn't. We can certainly throw her into the mix if you want.
It just seems to me that you keep going outside of the town, outside of the town, when you have people right here that can do that job.
Scott's talking about expert.
You're an expert. You've got... Don't even get me started there.
What kind of fees were we talking here, Scott?
They range anywhere from $65 to $100 an hour. But you know, that's pretty good for getting that kind of expertise.
Hell, for $100 an hour.
And what were you anticipating that they would do? This was kind of where we were at the last discussion. And I just kind of, I personally would like to know what you're envisioning that you would have these people do.
There's a lot of things. It's helping us walk through the hiring process, which we need help on. It's the quarterly reviews that we talked about. It's the annual personnel reviews. It's setting compensation policies and benefit package, which we need to do. We have a host of HR issues that we've talked about this stuff for a year and a half. So there's a lot of stuff we need to address that we could really do some help on. And we haven't made progress on it because this is the kind of help we need. So, we got an opportunity to do something about it. Should I just tell them do we not want to take any action on this?
Well, I personally need just some more information as to what, and that's why I asked you the question, what are you envisioning that these consultants are going to do? And that's just a basic, I wanted to know that. And I think you gave me an explanation. And I'm not saying we do or don't need it. I'm just kind of mulling that over.
Sit down with you and figure all that out.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Or the alternative is we can invite them to come and talk to us. I think it's better to hear it from them than from me.
And we're not committing anything.
We're not committing.
Basically interview it.
Right.
I think we should.
But I think we should have them come to the whole board.
Yeah.
I think we all need some. I feel I need some education.
Yeah, I was just trying to cut down on the amount of time investment, but that's fine. I can invite them to. We can take them one at a time and invite them to come and talk to us. So, do you want me to do that?
Well, I feel that if all you were going to do is hire someone to hold your hand. Give you a form and say, okay, now you have to do this form. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be obnoxious or belittle the procedure at all. If they can do more for us than just hold our hand and put a knitting needle in our rear ends to make us do something, then it's a worthwhile project. If that's all we're going to do is hold our hand, we should have enough internal fortitude to put our own knitting needle in our rears and say, do the job. You follow where I'm going?
I do, but it's that and more.
And that's what I'm trying to get at. If it's that and more, I'm going to investigate what they have to offer. If it's just holding a knitting needle because I'm too lazy to poke myself, I feel that I should be able to do better than that.
So why don't we invite them to come and talk to us? And I think it's better to hear that way.
Okay. It's not in the budget this year or next year for a fourth road crew member. Is it in the budget for this person?
Yes, it is. There's a budget line item for it.
There's a budget line for somebody to, like Emily just said, to come and poke you guys in the butt, but there's not for a road crew member. That makes a lot of sense.
It's a little bit different. I mean, it's not to the same caliber of expense either. I mean, it's to make sure that we're doing everything above board when it comes to our relationship with our employees, which I think is, mm-hmm. is kind of an important topic. And to not do that because one may or may not think that it's in the budget would be losing grasp of what's important and what we're trying to do. So.
No, I have to disagree. And this year, everybody is the internet. Now, I've got a little 12th grade, P grade brain. I set up a whole total contract for our cemeteries all by myself. There is so much on the internet, and I keep hearing the VLTC can help with this and can help with that. Why do we have to hire somebody?
I don't think it's going to do any harm to listen to what these people that are professionals have to say. And that's my personal opinion. I think you always have a... whenever you talk to a professional and they feel you're bound to learn a few things, and I think that this board can afford to learn a few things. And I speak for myself, not for the board as a whole, but I certainly feel that I don't know everything by a long, long way. And so if we can glean a few things from talking with these folks, maybe we would need their services and maybe we wouldn't, but we could hopefully learn something and move on. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
Thank you, Emily.
Personally.
Thank you.
Are we done with this project now? Have you got the approval that you need?
I'll go ahead and schedule it.
Okay. We did the artistry negotiation meeting wrap-up, select board correspondence. John, do you know whether this Two Rivers Regional Plan is online?
It is online.
I received as chairman of the Board of Selectmen a Two Rivers Regional Plan, and they're going to have a hearing on this.
July the 10th.
And that's at Damon Hall in Hartland, or Thursday, July 11th, at the Royalton Town Offices in South Royalton. And because we're in Two Rivers, we should not necessarily rely on our town planning board to necessarily verbalize our wishes or concerns regarding the town plan. And so I would urge us all to take time to read it. And if there's something that's bothering us about it, or we don't think that there's something that we want to sign on to, that we talk to our planning commission members or go to the hearings ourselves. Is that not correct, John?
Yeah.
You're on the planning commission. So, but we have received this. Or if anybody wants to take this hard copy, they can. I haven't read it yet, but you can take it and read it, and then give it back to me, and I'll read it sometime before the hearing. Anybody interested? I don't know everyone speaking once. I'll keep it. Those hearing dates are July 10th at 6 p.m. in Damon Hall, 1 Queechee Road in Hartland, or Thursday, July 11th at 6 p.m. at the Royalton Town Offices in South Royalton, Vermont. Okay? Other than that, and I have no other select board correspondence.
Just one thing, it hasn't been warned yet, but it's our intention that we're going to have a planning commission hearing on the zoning for the town of Hartford on July 23rd, 7 o'clock here at the town offices. That's on a Monday night. Tuesday night.
July 23rd?
Yeah.
7 p.m.?
Yeah.
Zoning.
That's for the new zoning regs. Yes? Just the zoning, nothing to do with ridgeline or subdivision.
Subdivision, yes. subdivision, the ridge line are standing on their own at this point. We're going to get the zoning approved, and then later on we'll make amendments and on those two if necessary and mold them into the total zoning. But we're doing just the zoning at this time.
Review of assignments. I'm going to just talk to the paving contractors, and I will talk to Phil Decker, and I will also talk to Ben Bricker and try and get an appointment with Artistry.
Just to clarify that I found the date for the for Peter, it's 2/26/2020 that we have.
So. For the repeaters, it's June 26th?
No, February 26th of next year that needs to be completed. I should have to file an extension, I would assume, or I don't know how that would work. But.
Agenda items for next meeting? RFP for Chuck. I did not find that in my email, John.
It says it again.
Let me see if it's showed up. Oh, there it is. Okay, great. Anything else that you know of right away?
Further discussion of the road crew.
Only that we need to schedule an executive session.
Oh, great.
So you'll need an executive session at the next meeting?
Right.
I assume that payment in lieu of taxes would not qualify for that.
Not qualify for what?
For an executive session.
I don't think so. I don't think it would.
I don't think it would it?
There's nothing really.
It's public knowledge. We'll try and get that done before the next meeting. I don't know whether that's with vacations and everything. I'm not sure whether that's possible, but we'll try and get on it. Anything else? Hola.
Can I be the one to provide the knitting needles and poke everybody?
I'm not sure. I trust you with
this. No, come on now.
I would be worried that I might have worries.
I have little ones and I have big ones.
Some of those suckers are sharp. Anything else? I need a motion for adjournment.
So moved. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Two.
Great.